Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of Equal Play. This week, we're sitting down with the Sky's rookie sensation, the player everyone loves to talk about, and general manager and coach James Wade says will be on everyone's scouting report for years to come, Rebecca Gardner. Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So your story is so unique. I want to start from the very, very beginning. What was your relationship to sport and basketball growing up?
Well, actually, when I was 8 years old, and my mom put me in basketball because the WNBA started. So it was like this new league coming up, and like she was all excited. So she put me in, and then I just happened to fall in love with it, actually.
Yeah, did your mom play basketball at all, like, in her youth?
She didn't, but my dad played when, like, growing up in high school and college and stuff, so she figured that to put me in something that my dad could help me with.
And what was that memory like when the league, when the W was started, and you got to share that moment with your mom of her kind of putting this dream on you a little bit, so to speak?
You know, I feel like I didn't even know at that time, but as I kept playing like throughout the years, it was just like something that I grew to love, and it was just kind of like I didn't want to stop doing it. And then I would say about elementary school, maybe 6th, 7th grade, I was like, okay, maybe I can go somewhere with this.
Maybe I could go somewhere with this. Yeah. So what was your first memory then of the WNBA beyond just your mom saying, okay, this league just started, let's get you into, you know, some youth leagues?
So I would say definitely I remember like going into the stores, and I believe it was like Cheryl Swoops who had her own pair of basketball shoes. And then
yeah,
I remember I also loved Rebecca Lobo because we had the same name. I would be like, just because we had the same name, yeah. But, and then of course, like Lisa Leslie. And then I remember even I would always go to LA Sparks games growing up too. And I think just, you know, having those role models and being able to look up to them kind of kept me interested in the game and, interested in like continue playing throughout the years.
Yeah, so fast forward, you end up at UCLA. Can you describe what your recruiting process was like and what that journey was like and how you came to the decision to go to UCLA?
So just like I grew up going to Sparks games, my dad also always took me to UCLA games, and I got recruited by quite a few schools, but you know, UCLA was our local, you know, big time school. And some other players I would like look up to would be like Noe, you know, she's the coach of Seattle Storm now.
Uh-huh.
But I just remember always going to the games, and, like one day I got a letter from them, and the first day I got a letter from them, I was like, okay, I'm going there. I didn't take any other recruiting business or anything like that. It was just like automatic yes.
So your 4 years at UCLA, how do you feel like they not only prepared you for your career overseas and ultimately the WNBA, but in life?
Well, yeah. So actually I have a unique college experience because I kind of had like three different coaches. So I was recruited by one coach. And then I had Nikki Caldwell for 3 years. And then I had Coach Corey for 1 year. So I actually think from each one of them, I learned something different. And I feel like everything I learned from them, from each one, kind of in sum prepared me for the next level. So, like I know from Coach Nikki, she was tough on us, but she had a real focus on defense. And I know a lot of people talk about like my defensive intensity now. And I really think part of it came from her because like our defense, it was a big emphasis. So like I can definitely give her credit for that for sure. And then for also with Coach Corey, she was big on character and like doing the right thing and stuff like that. So like off the court, like I felt like she was really intentional about just what kind of people we were. Like that was just as important as like, you know, off the court. So I think just in general, overall, kind of, like I said, all the coaches kind of attributed to everything after.
And then personally, I wonder if you could speak to the way each of these coaches instilled something different in you and your game, but how that translates off the court in the sense of, you know, who we are as human beings being a sum of multiple things and not just, you know, being really good at this one thing or that one thing, but really the sum of a bunch of things.
Yeah, I think like basketball and sports in general, like you have to learn how to interact and deal with different type of people, and you come across different challenges. And I feel like that just relates to life outside the court too. So it's kind of like, although they're like on court experiences, mm-hmm. Like it directly translates to off the court. Like in real life, you're going to come across challenges, or you're going to have like a bad day on the court or like maybe off shooting night, but the next day you have to bounce back and like think it's a new day, new process. So I would just say like it just directly translates. You might be having a bad day in real life, and then you have to wake up the next day and just think like it's a new day, new chance to be better. So it's definitely a direct correlation.
Do you feel like that's something that's come naturally to you, or have you had to work at having that mentality?
Definitely. I think it's something you have to work on. I feel like with different experiences throughout the years, or I've learned how to respond better to certain things, or even to different challenges. Like, maybe if I wasn't doing something well on the court or something, one day I would have to like go work at it and just trust that my work kind of would pay off, and like believe that that would pay off. So it's kind of just like, I would say definitely it's a process, but over the years and with the different experiences, like you get better and better. And I wouldn't even say I've mastered it. Yeah, I feel like it's like an ever-growing process. So still like just getting better every day, learning and being open to learning and accepting new challenges every day.
Yeah, absolutely. That growth is like something that's so constant. If you ever stop at it, it's taking away from a new level that you could reach.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, going back to 2012 and that experience of going undrafted, what were your expectations going into the 2012 WNBA draft? Did you have any for yourself, or were you just open to the entire experience?
So honestly, I know with the WNBA draft, especially your senior year, a lot of it kind of has to do with, or a lot of it, if your team does well in the NCAA tournament, it definitely helps.
Right, you know what I mean? Right.
So I think that our team, my senior year, our team didn't do that well. So honestly, I wasn't expecting to get drafted, but definitely if a team invited me or anything, I would definitely be open to it. But I didn't get drafted, and I feel like my goal was then to just go overseas, which is still like a great, it has been a great experience, but I don't know. I think that it would definitely would have been nice, but, and I feel like there were even times where I was a little bit discouraged, but when I got the opportunity to go overseas, it kind of like renewed that encouragement.
Before you went overseas, did you talk to any teammates, coaches, family members about what that next step of your career was gonna be like, or did you just go into it blind?
So I had a couple of teammates who like were older than me that had played overseas, so they kind of talked to me about it, and then I had a current teammate whose sister was playing overseas, so it was a little bit, I'm not gonna say it was a little bit scary. And then my first year was in Israel, and I didn't really know much. Actually, I didn't really know much about overseas at all. So it was a little bit like overwhelming, but I'm glad I ended up taking that first step, because there was even a time where I didn't think I was going to play after college too. I was actually looking to.
What? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I remember that I didn't really know how to get overseas or even to the next professional level.
Yeah.
So I was even looking into just retiring and maybe doing grad school, looking at different options, but I'm glad I did. I kept going.
Hold up. Can we imagine the Sky or the WNBA right now without Rebecca Gardner? I don't think so. So that we got to pause and elaborate on. So coming out of college, you know, conversations I've had with other players who have played predominantly overseas, I guess the steps they laid out to me were that, yeah, first step, you got to find an agent who helps you, you know, find a team to play for, et cetera. So when you went undrafted, were you figuring this out without an agent? And what were the challenges of trying to find that first deal in Israel?
Yeah, so I didn't have an agent. I remember the Final Four was coming up, and I had talked to a couple agents. But like I said, when your team doesn't do that well in the NCAA tournament, maybe a lot of agents don't know you or they haven't heard of you. So I talked to a couple, but I just didn't feel, when I talked to the couple that I did, actually, yeah, I just didn't feel that they were the right ones for me. So I was kind of just like I said, looking at other options, like besides basketball. And then I ended up running into one agent, and he made me really feel at home. And I feel like he made me also feel comfortable about going to Israel and stuff like that. So I think that I just ran into the right people at the right time, because I feel like if I didn't even run into that agent, or I didn't, one of my teammates, her sister worked with that agent, and if I didn't run into him, I probably wouldn't even be playing. So, yeah, it's, even when I think about it now, it's like the way things worked out, it's kind of like, it's crazy how it worked out.
Dude, this is why I love these interviews, because so many of us have this moment of like being in the right place at the right time, no matter what industry you work in, no matter what you do. It could be in your personal life, it could be in your professional life. But just hearing you explain that, you know, two things really stand out to me is one, that timing point that you made, but also the trust you had to have in yourself to one, know that just because an agent is hitting you up, or just because you're communicating with an agent, doesn't necessarily mean they're the right one for you. And also trust in yourself to go overseas, to not retire prematurely. So Where did that developed trust come from? Do you think you were aware that you had that level of trust in yourself at the time, or was it something that, you know, was subconscious and has developed over time since then?
I just think, like, when you talk to people, you know, like I said, my agent, he made me feel really comfortable. And even my teammates, who had played in Israel too, like, they kind of talked to me, and I feel like from what I was hearing, it seemed like good situation, good environment, especially to transition over for the first year. Israel is actually it's very Americanized. So I feel like once I got I kind of got an understanding of how it would be there, mm-hmm. that I was willing to take that first step. And then once I took that first step, it was like, I was good from there. Like, yeah, I think sometimes you just have to take risks. And I'm glad I ended up taking that risk. And even now, like, I'm very comfortable and certain, I'm very comfortable and with being familiar with things. But when that situation happened, it just showed me sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit, mm-hmm. and definitely it can be worth it.
And then the whole right timing of it all, running into the agent at the right time, and even ending up in Israel versus maybe ending up somewhere else overseas that maybe could have changed your perspective on what your future held. Do you think that being on the right path, being close to your passion, helps play into the right timing?
I would definitely say yes. If you're doing what you love, if you're doing what you love, I just feel like you can by default end up at the right place at the right time, or certain experiences or certain opportunities will come about. So, and unexpectedly too, because you're so focused on doing what you love, then things come along the way. So mm-hmm. I would definitely say for sure.
What did playing overseas for the last 10 years teach you about yourself and also in the game of basketball that had you gotten drafted right away, you maybe would have missed the lesson?
Yeah, well, first of all, the way that I got here definitely, I would say, makes me more appreciative of it. Mm-hmm. And even I would say, the way that I got here also taught me patience and to remain optimistic. And I think that if I would have just walked right into it, maybe I wouldn't have learned that patience. I wouldn't have learned to be as appreciative of it. So, I'd say even if I had to go back and if I had to go back, I would still do it. I would still have it happen the same way, because it just makes me so much more appreciative. And I feel like I've even had friends call and tell me who are playing overseas that I'm kind of inspiring them to keep going. And so I feel like that it kind of makes me happy when people tell me that, because I feel like I would have liked to. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, but I would have liked to have someone to look up to when I was in my younger years. So, yeah, definitely I appreciate the way that it happened.
Dude, you're honestly going to make me cry, because even in my career, there were so many people you look at and you think, oh, they're doing it this way. So, and they've reached success this way. And so if I want to reach success, I maybe have to do it the same way. And you could sometimes get caught up in trying to be like somebody else instead of trying to be the best version of yourself. And like you said, this opportunity overseas presented all kinds of challenges that showed you who you were, that, you know, playing in the WNBA maybe couldn't have. And now you have a whole new group of players that look to you as an example and, you know, an example of what's possible. So that's really special. Yeah. This team, this Chicago Sky team, has a lot of experience playing overseas. And you and Kalia the other day were talking about playing together in Turkey. So Who else on the Sky have you played with overseas? And how do you feel like those opportunities not only, you know, obviously help you guys presently on the court, but just in terms of bonds developed off the court is beneficial as well?
Yeah, I think Ka's the only person that I've played with, but I think, like you said, a lot of the girls have played in Europe before, so It's like we have like so much in common to talk about, like just like playing EuroLeague and just playing in Europe in general. Like when I first came, it was like we instantly had something in common because I felt like that overseas experience, like we all relate to that, and it's something that I feel like it's something that kind of like bonds us. And like even I feel like I don't know a lot about the other teams, but I almost feel like our whole team is like a European team, you know what I mean? So it's kind of cool.
Can you compare EuroLeague to the WNBA? And I know everyone always talks about how different the styles of play is, but just the level of competition and game days and meeting these ultimate competitors that you see in the WNBA, but every game in EuroLeague as well.
Yeah, so I think both are great leagues. I think that they're definitely different. Definitely like the 3-second rule in the WNBA changes a lot of things because the paint is so wide open here. I think that maybe WNBA might be a little bit faster in terms of like up and down, but then like EuroLeague, I feel like because of like the 3-second rule and things like that, it's a lot more team basketball. But I feel like it also has to do with the players. Like in the WNBA, there's a lot of athletic players, and then athletic and smart players. And I know overseas, there's a lot of, like, I had so many smart players. So the game is just a little bit different. But, and then even like game days, I would say, like, what surprised me here is, like, for example, like, in Europe, we'll all do the team warm up together. Maybe you can get there like an hour and a half before the game. Here, you get here like a little bit earlier, and everyone gets their own time for shooting and things like that. But I think that it's also different. You know what else is different is here, I mean, both Europe and here, I play with great players. But here, with playing with players like Candace and Sloot and like so many great players, I feel like sometimes I'm not the main focus, so it makes things a little bit like, oh, I can sneak in and get a basket here, you know? So, and then I feel like, for example, when I was in Girona, I was like one of the main ones on the scouting report. So That also is a big difference too. But both are a really high level for sure.
And yeah.
It's kind of hard to compare because in both, it's just so many great players in both leagues.
My goal as a journalist is to convince my editor to let me just like transplant myself with a team in EuroLeague for, you know, one season and just cover everything from top to bottom, because, you know, we hear so much from you all about your experience in EuroLeague, but it's so hard to get that day-to-day information about how teams are doing, how players are doing. So yeah, that's just a goal of mine I got to put out into the universe. But
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you should, because like, I feel like it's just as high of a level. And like, I don't even know, like if you watch, for example, the EuroLeague Final Four, like the atmosphere and everything, it's like, it's amazing. So like, if you could ever do that, I would definitely say definitely try to do that.
I'm about to send my editor an email right now and say Rebecca Gardner approved it. We got to make this happen. But your experience overseas, you know, was encompassed 10 years. In that time, did you ever contemplate, you know, not going back, staying here and quote unquote retiring, like you kind of mentioned at the top of this conversation?
Yes. And actually this past season, I was thinking about it being my last year. And yeah.
Like you weren't you weren't gonna go overseas for the 2021 season, or you were gonna be done after this year?
No, so when I was in Spain this year, I was like, this is probably going to be my last year. It's kind of like, I guess kind of because I mean, I enjoy playing, but it was a long time of me being away from home. Mm-hmm. And then also I feel like last year was my first year playing EuroLeague, and I made that goal. And then once I kind of like didn't see the opportunity of making the WNBA anymore, I was kind of like, okay, I made EuroLeague, which is like a great league. So maybe I'll transition into staying home. So, but then I would say like once free agency came and I started getting calls, then that changed quick.
So how much time separated that thought of this being your final year in Spain or final year overseas in general, from, you know, the free agency calls, and specifically the call from James, or the communication with James? Because we know he's talked about popping up at your games and you know, has talked in detail about the significance of that.
Yeah, I think that I would say I got to Spain after I was there about a month or two. Then I started to think like, okay, I'm ready to be, I'm 30 years old. So I knew like the time would be coming, but I think when I went to Spain and I was like starting to miss home a lot and my family a lot. And I mean, I love the experience, but it is a long time being away from home. So mm-hmm. I would say probably like a month or so. Like I got there in August, and then I would say by like October, after it kind of started to cool down, get cold outside, I was like, this will be my last year. And then, so I just kept playing. Like I said, I love basketball. So I was like, I'm going to finish this year out strong. But then like free agency came, and then, James called me. Even when he called me, I still wasn't for sure about it, because I feel like sometimes, you know, he was just showing interest, but I didn't know if it was like a real opportunity yet. So once I started to realize it was a real opportunity, I was like, okay, I need to like change my mindset and, you know, I was still focused and playing well, but I was like, well, maybe I'll play a couple more years.
We've heard a little bit from James about that conversation, and just him going to your games, saying, you know, he knew you could be a valuable part of this Sky team. What felt different in the communication with James than in previous communication you'd had with WNBA teams about opportunities? What made you feel like this one was legitimate?
Previously I had been to two different training camps.
Right.
And, you know, I think when you're young, coming out of college, you don't really understand how the process works. And I went to training camps, and I felt like maybe in those situations, it wasn't a true opportunity. And I think that with talking to James and having conversations with him, that alone showed me that it was like more of a real opportunity, because in the previous opportunities that I had, I didn't really even talk to the coaches before going, but I didn't really know that like how the process works. So I thought that way was normal. But now that I had like a different, an actual free agency experience. I understand now, like when coaches are truly interested in you, like how the process actually works.
Definitely. You know, you mentioned a checklist and playing in EuroLeague and being able to check that off. And once you did that, you kind of indulged the idea of, okay, maybe we're nearing the end here. I wonder what else is on your checklist. And have you added a few more things to the checklist since joining the WNBA? In the WNBA, I should say.
Yeah, so I was actually talking to my mom about this the other day. I was like, my whole goal throughout my whole life was to make it to the WNBA. So I was like, now that I've made it, or, you know, I need to set new goals. And I feel like right now what I'm doing is just setting goals like game by game. So if I see I did something or I need to improve something from the last game, I'll try to work on it the next game and like step by step. And also I know like Coach James, he wants me to bring the defense. So basically like I put a focus on that. Like I do get scored on, but I try not to get scored on. So that's a real big goal of mine. And yeah, I know, but there's so many.
Becca's like, I know the stats. I know I get scored on from time to time. It's fine, but we're working on this, that, and the other.
Yeah. So yeah, I just try like again the defensive goal, and then just choosing different things game by game, like what I'm gonna focus on. And I think by doing those little things, like the overall sum of things, I'm gonna see improvement each game and throughout the season.
Hearing that answer, I wonder how you balance prioritizing goals for the immediate future and goals for the long-term future.
So I would say the way I look at it is by making the daily goals, it'll help me reach the long-term goals. So I think you can't just, or I just don't, because sometimes if you look ahead to the long-term goals, it's kind of like a little bit, it can be overwhelming. But if you just, again, like I said, focus day by day or like game by game, like picking different things to improve on, I think by doing that, I'll reach that end goal. Mm-hmm. So, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. I think everyone's a little bit different with that point. You know, some people need to remind themselves of that long-term goal every day, and it helps them in the immediate. Whereas others, like yourself, I relate to what you said, you know, focusing on the one thing at a time, mm-hmm. helps you, you know, reach that long-term goal. Cause yeah, if you get too big picture, it can definitely mess with your mind a little bit. But you mentioned your family throughout this podcast episode, and I wonder what your mom's reaction was, your family's reaction was when you signed with the Sky. What was that call like when you got to let them know?
Well, my mom, she was screaming for sure. But in my whole family, my dad, my sister, everyone, like even like my cousins, I feel like sometimes they're even more happy and more excited for me than I am. So it's nice. It's nice to see them like excited and happy, and they're actually most of them are going to see me for the first time playing in LA when we play in a few days. So I'm definitely looking forward to that and finally get, because also I've been overseas, so that a lot of them haven't seen me play professionally. So it'll be the first time maybe since college that a lot of them have seen me play. So I'm definitely excited for that.
Have your parents been able to see you play in person professionally? Have they been able to make any trips overseas?
Yeah, my mom has, but my dad hasn't. And my dad has, he was a big part in my basketball, like he coached me when I was younger and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be really special for him to see me this in a few days. So Yeah, like I said, I can't even express how happy and excited I am for the LA game.
We know that this last game of the road trip you guys are on is in LA, and you talked throughout this episode about, yeah, going to games, going to Sparks games, and just the love you had for, like you said, UCLA. So being back in your home area and being a professional playing at Crypto Arena, what emotions are you expecting to feel in that moment?
Honestly, I don't know what I'm gonna feel, but like I said, I feel like what I can say is, like, I'm very, like, thankful and appreciative, and I don't know, sometimes to me it just seems surreal. Like, sometimes I even think, like, so I'm, like, really in the WNBA, or I feel like there I'm gonna be like, wow, I'm really playing against the Sparks in front of my whole family. So I don't know. First of all, I want to make sure I stay focused on the game, and then
of course.
But yeah, I'm just gonna be excited, and like, I feel like the one thing that one word to describe it would be like joy, because I feel like that's the only word I can even think of that comes close to describing how it feels, or how it's going to feel to be back in LA in front of my family and playing on such a great team and in the WNBA. So, yeah.
And what are your tools you use to stay focused in a big time moment like that?
Well, I think even playing in, I think different experiences, like this past season, I was in the EuroLeague quarterfinals, and mm-hmm. even when James came to watch me in Spain, the first time I was actually very nervous. So
did you know he was coming ahead of time?
So I did, but only like 2 hours before, and I feel like I didn't have enough time to mentally prepare, so I actually didn't play my best that game. Uh-huh. But he came again, and like, so little experiences like that, I would say, like, I learned to, although like there's things going on outside of the court, like I just learned to like focus what's going on inside the court at that time, and then after, enjoy everything else that comes with it.
Every episode, I always like to ask the guest, you know, what their hopes are for the future, and each guest brings a different answer because they have a different experience, whether they're a coach or a player like yourself. So my question for you, Rebecca, is just, what's your hope for the future of the WNBA?
My hope for the future is of the WNBA, I would say that it just continues to keep growing and getting popular, which I think that it is. And not only fan-wise, but I would say, like organization wise. And I remember we were talking a little bit about like roster expansion and stuff like that. So I think that it just continues to grow, so that like I was also, like I said, when I started playing, it was like because of the WNBA and being started and stuff like that. So I think that if it continues to grow, that like little girls it'll inspire more little girls to, you know, start playing basketball and have those dreams of growing up to be WNBA players and inspirations to others. So, yeah, that's, I would say, definitely the growth.
That's a beautiful hope and goal for the future of the WNBA. And I would bet my life that there is a little human somewhere watching you play in the WNBA right now saying they want to be just like you. So, Rebecca, I genuinely appreciate your time that you've given to Equal Play, and I will see you guys on the road. I'm about to fly out to Vegas myself.